Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Tave and Terry Grimby from the Point of View Alpaca Farm. Their 25-acre farm with 360-degree panoramic views of both the Blue Ridge and Allegheny Mountains is located right here in the heart of the Shenandoah Valley. They are providing a home for the alpacas and harvesting their fiber for many uses. You can also go on an adventure and walk an alpaca with friends and family. You can learn about them, feel them, feed them from your hand, and take them on a guided walk through the pastures, past lavender fields, and to the bank of the soothing and relaxing Middle River. Welcome to the show, Dave and Terry. It's great to have you both on here today.
Hey, Don. Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you guys on because just recently, my husband and I went on one of your walk a pack of adventures, and we had so much fun. Laughers, I highly recommend. You are going to want to listen to everything about this episode, and then you're going to want to call them and make an appointment to do just that. So I'd like to start out with, on that guided tour, Dave, you had mentioned for years you had had horses on the farm, and then you got into alpacas in 2014. Can you tell us the story about your farm and how you got into the alpaca business?
Yes, absolutely. First, I want to say you and your husband did a great job on the walk. Great job you got.
Well, thank you very much. I'm patting ourselves on the back.
You did very well. A lot of fun. But okay, your question. I bought the farm in 1996 and we had horses. And for 20 some years, we had horses here. And my girls, daughters, used to ride horses when they were young. But then after they grew up and became adults and moved off the farm, we weren't really riding the horses anymore. So we donated our last two horses to a local stable, Cool Breeze Stables, right down the road from us. My daughters took riding lessons there when they were young. And so we had, at that point, we loved horses. It was a lot of fun. But we had the infrastructure in place. We had a barn, we had fencing, we had pastures. And so we started to think, well, we're going to stay on the farm. We love it out here. So perhaps we, with all the infrastructure in place, perhaps we could get some other kind of livestock and maybe try to turn it into a little business, you know, where we could kind of supplement our income a little bit. And so after talking about that for a number of months, we kind of landed on alpacas. We went to visit a few shows. We visited people that had alpacas. We learned a lot about them early on. In 2014, we got our first herd of four alpacas. So the farm just gradually evolved. Most everything was in place, just different livestock.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, yeah. Laughers, we're doing this podcast interview on Zoom also, and it cut out there just a little bit when he started the story of his farm. And I just want to be sure that we're a little bit clear on that. You said you have two girls, right? Two daughters, and yeah. they were utilizing the horses that were on the farm. That's the part that cut out of it.
Rode the horse. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how old are your daughters today?
31 and 28.
Excellent. And so are you a grandpa?
Yes.
Okay.
Terry's daughter just had a baby about 2 months ago now.
Okay.
So yes, we are grandparents.
All mm-hmm. right. And that's the first grandbaby, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. From your stepdaughter.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. And what's the grandbaby's name before we continue? We must know.
Go ahead, Terry.
Hammond Shaw.
Hammond?
Hammond Shaw.
Okay. All right. That's exciting. How do you spell Hammond?
H-A-M-M-O-N-D.
Okay. Hammond. I have never heard that name before.
It's a family name.
Okay.
It's a family name.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. that's great. Is it what ethnicity, origin is that, Hammond? Do you know?
Is that German?
Mm-mm.
No.
No?
English.
Okay. Yeah. Getting educated out there. That's such a unique name.
I don't know. It's her family.
And you're blended. That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that sharing that with us and a bit of your family. I have another question that's intriguing to me, and I think it is to our listeners too, is how are alpacas different from llamas?
Oh my goodness. There's a huge difference between alpacas and llamas. I guess first the similarity, they're all in the camel family. So you have camels, llamas, alpacas, vicunas, they're all in that same camel family. But alpacas, as you noted in your introduction, they're on this planet because of their luxurious fiber, their livestock that produce fiber. Llamas do not produce the type of quality fiber that an alpaca does. And their size, their whole physical size is quite different. They're about twice the size of an alpaca. They're very aggressive. They are considered pack animals. If you ever watch a movie and you see an animal that looks like an alpaca walking up the side of a mountain carrying a pack on its back, that's probably a llama and not an alpaca. Llamas are pack animals. They carry things. They're also guard animals because they're very aggressive. Unlike alpacas, who are usually very calm and loving, llamas are usually pretty aggressive. A lot of people that have a herd of sheep or goats or alpacas or even cattle, they'll put a llama or two in with their herd to serve as a guard animal to protect the herd from predators. Because llamas are so large and so aggressive, if anything comes up to the fence or the gate, the llama will go after it and try to scare it away. So alpacas don't do that. If anything came up to the fence, the alpaca would probably run away. So they're quite different. And the fiber for alpacas, as you noted, it was considered the fiber of the gods. It's so soft, it like rivals cashmere. A llama, on the other hand, their fiber is much more coarse. So that means that you wouldn't make clothing that would touch your skin, like a scarf or a sweater or something like that, because it would itch. Some like wool itches, it's got this prickly factor to it. Alpacas don't have that. Alpacas, much, much finer fiber, much suited for high quality clothing.
Yeah.
Llama spit. Okay. Yeah, they are aggressive.
Aggressively. They will go after you. Yeah. Just to spit on you. Alpacas spit, but they will not come after you to spit on you. We've had alpacas for 7 years. I think I only got spit on twice in 7 years because two of them were fighting over food and I got caught in a crossfire.
That's not too bad for 7 years. It's not too bad at all.
If they were llamas, we would be soaking wet every day, probably.
I see why you chose the alpacas over the llamas then. Yeah. Yeah. Well, where do the alpacas come from and how many do we have in the United States?
Okay, that's a good question. It's a little bit interesting history. The first alpacas were brought into the United States in the early 80s, and they were brought in from Peru, where there are probably a couple million alpacas, like 3 or 4 million alpacas. They brought them in at that time in the 80s. They were considered novelty animals or exotic animals. It would be like buying an ostrich or something very unusual like that. And they were making a lot of money doing that. But in the United States, after a few years, I think the alpaca owners, and there is a national organization, believe that these animals were here more because they're livestock and for their fiber than being an exotic animal. They're not really exotic animals. So the whole market kind of shifted and people started getting interested in alpacas because for the right reasons, for their livestock. So I think in the United States, there's probably, at last I heard from the national organization, around 300,000. and they're trying to increase the size of their herd in the United States in an attempt to get more interest from the textile industry.
Okay. Where would you say most of the alpacas are? Is this 350,000? Is it spread throughout the U.S. or are there like localized regions of the country you can find alpacas?
I think just almost every state has an affiliate organization to the National Alpaca Association. So they're pretty well spread out. Now, you might see a larger percentage in the northern states where it's the weather's a little cooler. Mm-hmm. Because alpacas, their fiber is so warm, it's about eight times warmer than wool, and they can overheat. You know, they get heat stress if it's too hot. So you might see higher concentrations in the northern part of the country. But there's even alpaca farms down in Florida, and people there in the states where it's warmer, they have extensive fan system where they're blowing air and have fans running in the barn all summer long to help keep the alpacas cooler.
Okay. And now, is it okay to just have one alpaca or do you have to have more than one? Is there a reason for that? And then how many do you have?
Okay, good question. Yeah, there is a reason for having more than one. Alpacas are herd animals. So you got to have, and if they're not in with a couple other alpacas, then they can get kind of anxiety. They get stressed out, which could lead to, you know, stress leads to all kinds of problems in humans. Same thing with alpacas. So I think most alpaca farmers would agree with me, if not all of them, that you should start off with a small herd. We started our first herd. We got four alpacas. And we have 11 now, but we've sold a couple over the years. We've had eight babies on the farm that were born on the farm in the last couple of years. But I would say that you should start with at least three or four. And you could, on 1 acre of land, you could easily accommodate like four or five, six alpacas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something interesting that I noticed on the guided walk about, you know, how you care for the alpacas. You were sharing how female alpacas spontaneously ovulate. So you have to keep the male and female alpacas that you have separate in the barn. How many babies do alpacas have at one time? And does the birthing require human assistance?
Okay. They are spontaneous ovulators, the females. So we do keep the males and the females separate. You want to really only breed with the male and the female that you're intended to breed with, or you could have problems if you have inbreeding or other types of situations. But they're pretty resilient animals, and they do pretty well on their own. I'd say the majority of time they could probably handle their own birth, but little things can come up. And Terry and I were like mother hens over these alpacas. I mean, we were. For a month or so before the baby was due, we would be out there, you know, patrolling the barn every half hour, every hour, just waiting to see when the baby was going to come. But a lot of farms, they just let nature take its course and the baby does well. But after birth, there's a few things you need to check for. We think it's a good idea to stay on top of it because baby alpacas are born without an immune system. It takes them about 6 months to a year to develop their immunity towards viruses or bacteria or parasites. So the only immunity they get when they're born is from the mother's milk that they drink during that first 12 hours of birth. It's a thick, syrupy milk called colostrum, and that has the mother's antibodies that the baby gets and helps protect the baby from those viruses and parasites until the baby's own immune system develops. But if the baby doesn't nurse in the first 12 hours, if the baby doesn't nurse in the first 30 or 45 minutes, it's a big problem. And it could be a serious emergency type problem. So we want to be there and make sure that the baby's nursing. And several of our alpaca females were first-time moms and never had babies before. So we wanted to make sure that the baby was nursing and the mother was accepting that. So in order to make sure that the baby got off to a good start with all of the antibodies and the immunity that it could get. So we have 11 alpacas now. But we sold, I think, six of them last year. So we would have had, you know, closer to 20. But We're at a good number now for what we're doing with our farm.
Yeah.
And we have five males and six females.
Yes. Yeah. And they're beautiful. You definitely love on them so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. One of the most unique things we noticed relatively soon in the guided walk is, well, you apparently are big music fans. Notice that. And I just want to ask you, for the laughers' benefit, how did you all come up to name all your alpacas with Beatles related names? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, so it's just something silly to do, something fun to do. We both like Beatles music. And I've been trying to learn how to play guitar, and Beatles songs, I grew up with the Beatles. So I've been trying to learn to play some of their songs just because those songs have been in my head for the last 40 years. And it's just something fun to do. So we pick silly names from the Beatles songs, like Eleanor Rigby and Abbey Road and Lucy in the Sky and Penny Lane, Blackbird Singing in the Dead of Night, just silly things. And it's just fun. We're trying to have fun with it. We're trying to make people smile when they come here. And it's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Now they know what kind of music to listen to on their way out to the farm. Tell me this. Do alpacas make noise? Do you have...
Terry can answer this one.
Okay, Terry.
Yeah, go ahead.
They make a humming noise.
Okay.
Like...
Louder, 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 louder. There you go.
And now, when do they tend to make that noise? Are they happy? Are they stressed? What can you tell us about that?
It's all of the above.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of, they have little pitches, I think, that make it something else.
Okay. But
to me, it's like whales.
Oh, you know, wow. They, okay.
They just communicate. And they haven't let us in on it yet.
Maybe one day.
One day.
Oh, and what do they eat? What do alpacas eat?
About 85% or more of their diet is grass, either fresh grass in the pasture or in the form of hay, baled hay. And about 15% then is... it's a grain, and this grain has the vitamins and minerals in it that the alpacas need to keep them healthy and help them to develop. They make our nationally known veterinarians who wrote the textbooks on how to take care of alpacas are really the ones that came up with the formula for these grains. And they have special formulas for baby alpacas, for, you know, different life stages. If it's a baby, if it's a, you know, juvenile, if it's an adult, if it's a senior, if it's a lactating female or whatever, they have different grains that have different types of minerals and nutrients that that animal might need at that point in its life. So that's about 15% of their diet.
And how much?
And it helps. Oh, it helps their fiber.
Helps their fiber. Okay.
Yeah, they're all about fiber. You want to optimize the health of your fiber.
Okay. And how much do they eat? Did I miss that? How much do they eat in a day?
You know, probably a cup of grain, like a day, maybe one cup. But we go through, with 11 alpacas, we go through, I think, close to 1,000 bales of hay. No, wait, that's not right. I'm sorry. No, that was our cost. It was it's around 300 bales of hay per year for 11 alpacas.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Is that
so? I don't know what that boils down to per individual alpaca. I never really figured it out. We keep hay available for them all the time in the barn. If it's raining, they come into the barn, and so they have hay. If it's really, really hot out, like it's been the last few weeks, they don't even want to go outside. They'll stay in the barn. So we just keep hay in there for them all the time. If the weather is good, they want to go out, and they'd rather be grazing in the grass outside in the pasture. But we keep hay for them all the time. And I think we've gone through right around 300, maybe a little over 300 square bales of hay. And we use we feed them up orchard grass. That seems to be the one that the veterinarians are recommending the most for alpacas.
Okay. I don't know a lot about farm life at all and feeding livestock. So I have no idea or concept if 300 bales of hay is a lot of hay or some hay. Like,
well, it fills up our, yeah, we've got a small hay loft and we bring in, we can fit about 150 to 200 bales. It's not very large space. So we just fill it up twice a year. I don't think that's a lot. Horses would consume a whole lot more.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No concept. Thanks for that. Yeah. Now, I want to know that that guided walk was so super fun. How in the world did you two come up with the idea of your Waka-Paka adventure?
Okay. I have to give Terry credit for that. We were showing animals, going to shows and competing for blue ribbons for a couple years when we first got the alpacas. And of course, we were trying to sell some of the fiber products that's made from their fiber. And Terry was looking on the internet one night and she saw a farm in Ireland. And they were doing this walk, and they called it alpaca trekking. And Terry said, you know what? Maybe we should try this alpaca trekking on our farm. And my first response was, have you lost your mind? Why would you do that? But as usual, Terry was right. Yeah. So we tried it, and it has been so much fun. So It's a guided walk, and reservations are needed. So then everyone, to get a reservation, you have to call my phone number. It's on our website, pointofviewalpacas.com. The walk takes about an hour. I would plan on being on the farm about an hour and a half. And adults and children over 12 can typically walk their own alpaca. Children under 12 walk with an adult. But you have your own alpaca and you have it on a lead line and you go for it. And we do a guided walk. Terry and I go with you on the whole walk. And it's just a lot of fun. It is. We started off during the pandemic last year and realizing that people were shut in. And even before that, so many people were tied to their technology and rarely have a chance to unplug and just really get outside and enjoy nature. So we started to really encourage people to unplug, come on out, and just enjoy an hour and a half with an alpaca, something different that you don't do every day. Because people were locked up so much during the pandemic, a lot of people wanted to get out onto a farm where they could socially distance and spread out and still be outside. So that's kind of how it started. And it has really snowballed. Everybody loves it. We get over half of our customers come from a 2 or 3 hour drive away from Northern Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Roanoke, Richmond. We had a run of people from Philadelphia that were just driving down here in carload just for the day and then driving back to Philadelphia after they walked their alpacas. But it's just a lot of fun and it's kind of therapeutic. And I think now we're kind of seeing this as almost a mission for us that we really want people to have some hope in our crazy world. We want them to have some peace and some happiness and put a smile on their face for at least for an hour and forget about everything else. And so it's become almost more of that than anything else. You know, we really want to be able to give back. We've got a beautiful place here and we want to share it. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. And laugh. They're so adorable.
They are.
Yeah. They're adorable and you two are enjoyable. So it's,
thank you.
Yeah. It's really a lot of fun. I could see why people are driving from Philadelphia and all around to come enjoy that unique experience. It's, you know,
pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
We walk all year round. A lot of it's weather dependent. If it's pouring down rain, of course, we will have to cancel or reschedule. Mm-hmm. In the middle of hot summer, like right now, we're just doing morning walks because it's too stressful for the alpacas in the afternoon. But when the fall comes and the leaves start changing colors The weather's a little bit cooler. We'll do morning walks and afternoon walks. I'll kind of open it up a little bit. So even when there's snow on the ground, we'll walk. And it could be weekends or weekdays. If we're here and there's availability, we'll go for a walk. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah, you and at the end, we went into your farm store. You have a little farm store there with some fiber products available. Earlier in the interview, you had mentioned that their fiber is known as fiber of the gods in ancient times. They used it to make clothing and blankets for royalty. Today, though, how is the fiber harvested and what is it used for now?
Similar, it's used for clothing. We have a professional shearer comes to our farm every April. It's usually the mid to late April, and that's when we shear the animals. We want to get that hot fiber off of them before May when it starts to get hot here in Virginia in the Shenandoah Valley.
I see.
So that's the first step, you get the fiber off of the animal. And then we kind of clean it a little bit, shake the dust out of it and any straw that might be in it. And then we separate it. There's the first, seconds, and thirds. The first is the best, the finest, the most luxurious fiber. And that's typically on their back and on their sides. The second best is the fiber that comes off of their neck. And then the third best is the fiber that comes off of their legs. So we separate it by first, second, and thirds. And then some of it we send down to Lexington, Virginia, just south of Stanton. There's a mill down there that makes yarn and roving for us. And we sell some of that yarn in our store. And so we give her whatever we need for yarn. We'll give her some of the raw fiber and she'll make yarn. And some of that yarn, then we sell it as yarn in our store. And some of it, we have a lady in Harrisonburg that makes scarves and hats out of our yarn. And then we sell those in our store. We make a few other things, dryer balls, wreaths, a few other things from our fiber, 100% from our animals. But the beauty of it, though, is our national organization has helped the small farmers to find an outlet for their fiber and for their products. They helped us by negotiating back in the late 90s when they figured out that alpacas weren't here because they were exotic animals. They were here because of their fiber. The National Association went out and pulled in four or five big textile manufacturers, and they're geographically spread out across the United States. And they came up with a pretty unique idea. They developed co-ops. So we use one up in Massachusetts, and there's another one in North Carolina we use somewhat too. So the way that works is that the fiber that we have, the majority of our fiber, the largest portion of our fiber, we don't make yarn out of it. We only make yarn out of a smaller portion, but the majority of the fiber then we send to the co-op up in Massachusetts because small farms like us, and almost all the farms in the United States are like us. They have less than 20 alpacas, but also like us, they want to have a farm store, or they want to sell their products on their website, or they want to go to farmers markets or whatever and sell their products. But with only 20 animals and you only shear them once a year, you don't have enough fiber to stock your inventory for a whole year. Well, that's where the co-op comes in. The co-op says, well, if all you small farmers in the United States send your fiber to us, we'll mix all the fiber together, and then we'll have enough fiber that we can help stock your inventory all year long. So it was an instant win-win for the small farmer as well as for the textile manufacturers that developed the co-ops. So that's what we do with the rest of our fiber. So you'll see, in our store, you'll see sweaters, you'll see gloves and some other hats and socks. We don't make those things here locally, but those all come from the co-op, where our fiber is mixed with other alpaca fiber from small farms across the United States.
Yeah, that's really a clever way to collaborate and use sources and Yeah, to create that win-win situation. I really like that. Oh, that's great.
We're hoping.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now we're hoping that there'll be more outlets in the future. I think that as we get more alpacas in the United States, and we'll have more fiber, and I think we'll be able to produce more products as an industry, and then you'll see they'll be more easily accessible. I think they are high quality, and but they're excellent products. The industry would like to see them out in other outlets. But there's just, with only 300,000 alpacas, it's not really enough alpacas to attract major industry, like major textile industry. Like in Peru, where there's 4 million alpacas, the textile manufacturers definitely want to be there because they have enough fiber that they could work with it, and it's going to be cost effective for them. In the United States, we're working towards that. So hopefully over the next 5, 10, 20 years, the population of alpacas in the U.S. will get larger, and then the textile industries will become more interested. But even now, you can go to small farms like ours and still get beautiful clothing made from alpaca fiber.
Okay, so what you're seeing in the future as the alpaca population grows, you see it going in other outlets. You mean stores, like places beyond the farms, or buying it online, or
farmers markets,
like in mainstream stores, is what you're saying.
Right.
What you mean by outlets? Okay,
exactly right. I mean, you can find alpaca stores, but they're more like boutiques. You know, they're high end stores, and a lot of people don't shop in those high end stores. So what our goal would be as an organization would be to have more mainstream, like you said, more mainstream stores carrying alpaca products, the clothing made from alpaca fiber.
Like Chico's or Talbot's.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
And you might see alpaca clothing made, but to really get the benefit of alpaca, it has to be at least made out of at least 50% alpaca. A lot of times they'll put a blend in there with it. It might be a little bit of nylon, a little bit of bamboo, a little bit of merino wool, something like that. But if it's not at least 50% alpaca, you're not going to get the benefit and the value of that cashmere quality type of fiber that an alpaca has, or the warmth or any other features of the fiber.
High quality stuff.
Yeah, right.
I'd love to see more of that too.
So yeah.
I'll be looking for that trend myself.
Come to our farm and do your Christmas shopping.
Exactly. Or buy online, because your products are available online as well on your website, correct?
We do have some. We just started that e-commerce section of our website, and we've got a few products out there now. So we think we'll be expanding that in the future. We're going to see how that goes, but we do have some products out there right now. Yes.
Okay, great. And of course, available in the store after they take their walk a pack of adventure.
Absolutely.
Now, let's say we have a laugher out there who's interested in starting their own herd of alpacas. Would you be available and able to mentor them to bring their new lifestyle to fruition? And if so, what would that look like possibly?
Okay, good question. Yeah, we would definitely. We sold 6 alpacas, for example, this past year to one farm, 3 to another farm locally here. And we've been back and forth to their farms a number of times since then. So we definitely are offering our support and help. But regardless of whether you buy it from alpacas from us or somebody else, I mean, actually, we don't have a lot for sale right now. We have such a small herd, and we're using them for walking. But my advice would be learn as much as you can about alpacas before you invest any money in purchasing any. Go to some of the shows. Meet some of the farmers, go to various farms, make sure that you know what you're looking for. There's really three purposes for purchasing an alpaca. One, you could be a breeder selling babies. Those are the people that go to all the shows and take their animals to the show and then end up getting a blue ribbon or whatever. And then selling some of those animals or using them as breeding stock to continue to make money that way. The second way, those are the most expensive animals to buy. If you're starting out, that would be your highest investment. A mid-range investment for a new person coming into the business would be just fiber animals. Not necessarily a blue ribbon winner, first place winner, but maybe a high quality fiber animal that has really good fiber that can make really good products. So that's like the mid-range of alpacas. And then there's the pet alpacas, and you'll never win a blue ribbon with them probably. And their fiber is probably decent, but it's probably not the best quality, but you can still make things out of their fiber as well. So those are the three kind of categories that you're looking at. And a lot of people, and what we're doing, I mean, we have some show animals that have done very well in the show. We stopped doing that a couple of years ago when we started doing the walk. Because right now, agritourism is a rapidly growing part of the agriculture of the farm life. So our agritourism adventure is this walk-a-packa. So yes, we would be happy to help people and talk to them about what we do and different ways to develop a business plan and try to be a mentor if we can. But I would encourage them to look around and meet other farmers. There might be other farms that are close to them where they have been coming the whole way out here to where we are. Either way, feel free, anyone that's listening to this podcast, call us. If we can't help, we know a lot of people in the Virginia Society, and we can point you in the right direction to get the mentoring and the help that would really get you started.
Great. Well, how can people follow you on social media or elsewhere to learn more about the alpacas you have, byproducts, alpacas in general, and of course, to go on an adventure with one of yours?
Well, our website is probably one of the best places. It's pointofviewalpacas.com. But we have a Facebook page, Instagram. We're out there. A lot of people have been posting little videos on TikTok or whatever. So social media, I'm sure you'll find us. People that Google for some adventure in this part of the country, our farm pops up. So we're getting a lot of exposure that way. But our website, I think, would probably be a good place to start. But follow us on Facebook at Point of View Alpacas. Follow us on Instagram, right? Point of View Alpacas. What else?
Well, other people's posts. You know, a lot of people just post their pictures, and so their friends see it, and they're like, I want to do that.
Yeah. I posted one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Sunny. I got to watch Sunny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's adorable. That's my little, I loved it.
So that's it. Yeah, that's probably the best way to see us. And we put flyers out in local establishments, people that can visit local restaurants or bed and breakfast or whatever. There's a couple of them that we have our flyers at. But most of the way people find us through social media, and they find our website. And my phone number is out there. Anyone can call that number anytime and I'll pick up. And if I don't, just leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And we'll share any information that we have or get you on the calendar for a walk.
That sounds good. Well, thank you, Dave and Terry. You both are a delight. And it has been a pleasure spending time with you, learning all about your farm and alpacas.
Well, thank you, Don. This was fun. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. We love to share. So thanks for thinking about us and for today's little discussion and interview. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And laughers, be sure to call Dave and Terry at 540-280-0690 to make your appointment to Walk-A-Packa for a unique experience to unplug in the scenic Shenandoah Valley. Again, that number is 540-280-0690. And we'll be sure to put their contact information in the show notes as well. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.